You have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. If you're using a pew Bible, it's page 2. We're moving right along. We are our 10th lesson in this series. But we as a family, we just finished up like 2 weeks of family time. It was wonderful. Lots of crying, lots of chaos, but lots of great time together as a family. We've got a few pictures I'd like just to show you of our family. Most of you know many of our family. But we even enjoyed a rainbow together, and the grandkids with the rainbow. There's 7 of the 8. It was a great time. We actually took family pictures. There's Jackie and I with all 8 grandkids. And then we took family pictures, and we actually did one at the end. It was kind of like all funny ones. And just so the ones that you know, we're going to actually do a close-up of the ones that you know here. Here's Joshua and his family, and then Jesse and his as well. Yep, we claim them. It's a great time. We enjoyed our time together. Our memory verse this morning is going to be the same as we've been going over the last few weeks. It's James chapter 4. Verses 7 through the first part of chapter, or verse 8, James 4, 7 and to 8. Let's say it together, if we will. Submit therefore to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. As I mentioned, this is the 10th message in our series. It's hard to believe. Jackie said, really? It's like, yes, we're already at number 10 and going through this series on the storyline of Christ. I mean, time just goes, and as was mentioned in Sunday school, 4 months from today is Christmas, so before you know it, we'll be in the new year. But we're tracking 5 different chords through Scripture as we go. The first one is God. We've talked a lot about God and His attributes and how He created everything and who He is and His power and all that. Then we've talked about man. Man was created. We talked at that length. Last week, sin entered the picture. Actually, it happened before that, but we talked and discussed that last week, how sin came in, and redemption is the next chord that we're going to be looking at, and we'll be talking about that today. The promise of redemption, a deliverer. And we've talked about seasons. We're in our second season now. We were in the season of innocence, and now we've moved into conscience once sin entered the world. So a little bit for review, we got to remember that Satan wanted to destroy Adam and Eve because Satan hates God and Satan hates man. And Satan disguised himself when he spoke to Eve. And he did that because he wanted to deceive her into rebelling against God. Satan was implying that God was a liar. When he contradicted what was going to happen after they ate from the fruit of that tree, that forbidden tree. Satan told them that if they ate, they would become like God, knowing good and evil. But what Satan was actually attacking was the goodness of God. If God was really good, he wouldn't withhold this fruit from you. To this very day, Satan is still attacking the goodness of God. You probably have said it, thought it, or heard it recently. If God was really good, he wouldn't have allowed. Finish the sentence. If God was really good, he would have. Finish the sentence. And Satan wants to attack God and his goodness, and he started in the Garden of Eden. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman was deceived and became a wrongdoer. After Eve was tricked into eating the fruit, she offered some to Adam. And unlike Eve, Adam was not deceived. He deliberately disobeyed God. He acted independently of God. So Adam and Eve, they disobeyed God. And last week, we looked at a bad sequence of events. Remember? It's called the progression of sin, where you are looking, then you're thinking, and then you're doing. We looked at the consequences. The consequences was that the relationship with God was broken. They actually became enemies of God. They would die physically, and they would be separated from God for all of eternity. You know, it's hard for us to put ourselves back into their fig-leafed skirts and fully comprehend what took place. How could Adam act independently of God, despite God's wonderful character? Their decisions brought tragedy not only to both of them, but to all of their descendants. We can only imagine the horror that this first couple felt when this utter chaos shattered their perfect lives that they had previously known. But in the midst of this tragedy, God offers hope. In addition to hope, God's grace shows up. And that's why I've titled this message, God's Gracious Hope. So if you have your Bibles, let's look at Genesis chapter 3. And I want to read verses 8 through 20. Starting verse 8, chapter 3 there. Now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Verse 14. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the livestock and more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will make enemies of you and the woman and of your offspring and her descendant. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall deliver children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. With hard labor you shall eat from it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. Yet you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now the man named his wife Eve, because she was mother of all the living. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word and how it reveals you and who you are. And Lord, I pray this morning that our hearts would be thrilled again with you and how, in amongst all the things that we do that are wrong, how you show up. And Lord, this morning I pray that you will just cause our hearts to be tender to the things you want to teach us. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. First thing we're going to talk about is that God called out to Adam. You see, God loved Adam and Eve, and he came to the garden to be with them. Look there in verse 8. "And now they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." So God called out to Adam and Eve. Verse 9, "Then the Lord God said to the man, and he said to him, 'Where are you?'" You know what? They hid from God. But God knew where they were. How do we know this? We know this because God is everywhere. We've gone through this. God is everywhere. He knows everything. And Adam and Eve, they went and hid. When they were trying to hide among the trees, guess what? God was already there. So if nothing can be hidden from God, why did God call out, "Where are you?" God called out to them because he still loved them. Even though God intended to do what he had said by punishing them for their disobedience, he was giving Adam and Eve the opportunity to come to him voluntarily and admit their sin. See, God wanted them to admit two things. One is God wanted them to acknowledge that what he had told them about eating the fruit was true. And God wanted them, secondly, to agree that they were wrong for choosing to believe Satan instead of him. God calls out to people today. God has not changed. Even though we don't hear an audible voice like Adam and Eve did, God still calls to people today. Well, you might say, how does God talk to people. Well, God speaks through the things he has created. We can know that God exists and understand something about him because of his character, because of seeing creation around us. What is God saying to all the people everywhere through what he created? I'm the true God. I am the creator of all things. I am almighty. You stop and you look and you see the mountains out there. It's like that just didn't appear. No, there's a God who created that. He says, I'm loving. I don't know, last night Jackie and I went for a walk, and we were walking, went out by Susan, we were coming back home, and we looked off to the west, the sun had set, and there was one little cloud, little bit of a cloud off to the west, but the sun was shining up on that cloud, and that cloud was brilliant, orange, red, amongst the darkening sky. It's like God said, I love you. I gave that for you to see. Listen to me because I'm your creator, he says. Seek me. Now, as we take in the beauty of our surroundings, as we gaze into the sky, as we let our thoughts wander into the vastness of what we can see, that star out there, that's so far away, and for that light to get here, it took us 10,000 years at 186,000 miles per second for that light to get to me. That's the vastness of our God. We should remember how great God is. He's calling us through his creation. He speaks through his creation. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3 says this. It's actually for the music director. It's a psalm of David. It says, the heavens tell of the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. So not only does God speak to us through creation, he speaks to us through the Bible. God's word, his word, is his message for the whole world. It's also for you personally. It's for each one of us. God wants us to understand and believe what he has communicated to us in the Bible. In Jeremiah 22, 29, God calls to all the earth saying, hear the word of the Lord. But not only did God call out to Adam, he questioned Adam. In Genesis 3, 9 through 11, then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I have heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat? So there's three questions that God asks Adam. Number one is, where are you? Number two, who told you that you were naked? You see, God understood the fact that the nakedness equated with innocence. And now the fact that he is clothing himself, he knows that he is no longer innocent. God knew what happened, but that's what the picture is for us. Innocence was gone. The third question he had is, have you eaten from the tree for which I commanded you not to eat? The question that we might ask ourselves, if God already knew the answers to these questions, why did he question Adam? God was giving Adam a chance to voluntarily acknowledge his sin. You see, God has the authority to hold Adam and Eve accountable for their actions. He's their creator. They rightfully belong to him. He created them. And Adam and Eve had to answer to the Creator for what they had done. So do all people, you and me. We need to answer to God for what we do. God is our rightful owner. God has given life to all of mankind. Every man, every woman, every child. Acts 17:25, the end of the verse says, he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. So now God not only called Adam, not only questioned Adam, and now we see that Adam, he blames Eve, and Eve blames the snake. You see, Adam and Eve didn't want to acknowledge their sin. Genesis 3, verses 12 through 13, then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me some of the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. So who did Adam blame? First, he blamed God. The woman you gave me. In other words, if you hadn't given me that woman, I wouldn't have fallen into sin. He was blaming God. He was implying that God was the source of the problem. But he also said it was Eve. So he's blaming God and he was blaming Eve. Well, who did Eve blame? She blamed the snake. You see, Adam and Eve tried to avoid the responsibility for what they had done. And you know what? It's a human tendency. It happens to this very day. That when a person is caught doing something wrong, he or she tries to blame someone else. Sometimes an innocent person is blamed and they end up being punished for what they never did. In a corrupt society, people may be able to buy their way out of being convicted, and then they can avoid punishment for the crimes that they have committed. But guess what? No one can deceive God. Sin will not go unpunished. God sees and he knows the truth. He knows the truth about every single person, you and me and everybody else. God knows exactly what's going on. No one can escape God's punishment by blaming someone else. And God holds each person fully responsible for their own sin. Well, Adam blamed God and Eve. Eve blamed the serpent, but God already knew everything that had happened. Nothing is hidden from him. So we're moving on. We see that God cursed the snake. He has questions for Adam. Then he had question for Eve, and he didn't even question the snake. He just goes and curses the snake in verse 14. Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the livestock and more than any animal of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." The Bible doesn't tell us how the snake actually moved around before it was cursed. Whether it walked on its tail or it actually had legs that had fallen off, doesn't say. But we know that it didn't slither on the ground like snakes do now. It was only after Satan had used the snake to deceive Eve that God had cursed it. And when he cursed it, it moves on the ground like we know. From that point on, the snake always slithered on the ground. The other day, I was actually putting some grub X on our lawn. I was out there pushing it, and I walk around the corner, and there was a snake right there on the ground. I backed away. Not a big fan of snakes, so I relocated him to a different part out in the desert, away from the yard. My wife, on the other hand, she sees a picture of a snake, and it is nightmare material. I mean, if something shows up on the TV with a snake on it, she's shuddering next to me. It's like, it's not going to get you. But that's how snakes move today. So God curses the snake, and then we see, and this is the sweet part, God promised to send the deliverer. Adam and Eve were now under Satan's control. They had submitted to Satan's control. They had disobeyed God. And their relationship with God was broken. They were no longer children of God. And they were Satan's children and under his control. And as we continue to study through the Bible, we are going to see, it's going to become very clear, that from the time Adam obeyed Satan, Satan began to lead the majority of people to do what he wanted them to do. You see, Satan became the ruler of this world. And I think at that point, Satan thought that he had defeated God. And he had gained complete control of the world, but it's not true. And we know it's not true because God is almighty. And God promised that he would send the deliverer because sin had entered the world. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, "And I will make enemies of you," he's speaking to the serpent, "and the woman, and of your offspring and her descendant. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." It's interesting when you stop and you study this verse and you pick it apart and you look at it, because this here is actually the first gospel, they call it. There's a big long name for it, but it's the first gospel where God is giving a promise for what is going to come. And God planned that the promised deliverer would be the child of a virgin woman. Read what it says there. In the middle of the verse, and of your offspring and her descendant. It doesn't say their descendant. It says her descendant. The man is not mentioned in connection with the promised deliverer. Some versions actually call this her seed. That's how they translate it. There is only one time in all of Scripture that her seed is referred, because it's always talked about his seed. His seed is his descendants. It's the only place in Scripture where it talks about her seed. And it's when speaking of the deliverer, the promised deliverer. The coming deliverer would only be the child of the woman. And God promised that the deliverer would overcome Satan. God said that the deliverer would bruise or crush the serpent's head. The head symbolizes authority. For example, the head of a country is the supreme authority of that country. If one crushes the head, then he loses power and authority. And God said that the deliverer would overcome Satan, robbing him of his power and delivering people from his control. So through the promised deliverer, people would be brought back into relationship with God. God said that the deliverer's heel would be bruised. And that bruised heel is actually, in this verse, means that he, in this fight against Satan, the promised deliverer would be caused great pain and suffering by Satan himself. But he would not be overcome by him. You see, if someone's head is crushed, that person can't survive. But however, if someone's heel is bruised, that person will survive even though he is wounded. In our discussion about God, we have learned many things. We've learned that he is eternal, he's all-powerful, he knows everything, he's everywhere all of the time, he's loving, he's kind, he's holy, he's righteous, and now we learn something new. We learn that he punishes those who rebel against him and who disobey his commands. God is loving, God is merciful, and God is gracious. You see, Adam and Eve disobeyed God's command, and because of this, God could have actually, at that minute, that time, could have abandoned them, or he could have banished them into eternal fire, eternal punishment. But instead, because God is merciful, and because he's gracious, he promised to send the deliverer. Suppose with me for a minute that a man dressed in filthy clothes and reeking of alcohol unexpectedly came to your door asking for help. You invited him in, you allowed him to take a shower, provided him with some clean clothes, and actually gave him a good meal to eat. But as he left your home, you saw him steal an antique heirloom from the hallway table. Suppose that the next day he came back again asking for help. Even though he didn't deserve your kindness this time and actually deserved to be punished for stealing from you that heirloom, you again allowed him to take a shower and you cooked another meal for him. You see, when he came the first time, he hadn't done anything to deserve your kindness. But when he returned, he had done something for which he deserved to be punished. When you helped him initially, it was an act of love and kindness. But when you met his needs in spite of him having stolen from you, then it was grace. And when you didn't call the police to have him charged with stealing, that's called mercy. So when God created Adam and Eve, he showed that he is loving and kind by giving them everything they needed and more. But once Adam and Eve rebelled against God, they deserved the punishment of death. But God showed mercy by not immediately sending them to the lake of fire. God showed grace by promising to send the deliverer to save them from the punishment that they deserved. God said that Eve would suffer because of her sin. Verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall deliver children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. God told Eve that she would bear consequences for what she had done. because she had disobeyed God, she would suffer in childbirth. She would also be under the authority of her husband. But God said also to Adam that he would suffer because of his sin. And so God tells Adam the consequences of his sin. We see that in verses 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it,' cursed is the ground because of you. With hard labor you shall eat from it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. Yet you shall not eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." See, Adam and Eve, they fell into Satan's trap because they listened to him. Satan deceived Eve and then used her to lead Adam into sin. Even though Adam knew that what God had said, he willingly listened to Eve. And he allowed himself to be persuaded to do what he knew was contrary to what God had asked him not to do. Satan works subtly to lead us away from what God says. He will gladly use family members. He will use friends, maybe even a spouse, to hinder us from accepting God, what God says through his word. Or they may help us, cause us to think that we don't need to believe God. But because Adam sinned, God cursed the ground. Before he sinned against God, Adam took care of the garden. Everything grew well without him having to work hard. But when Adam sinned, God cursed the earth. It was no longer perfect. It was no longer that nice place for him to enjoy. Now he would have to work hard because he had sinned. Also, God told him that because you've sinned, you will die physically. As you can see, our tree up here, that branch that Darren brought a week ago, the leaves are dying, losing color. It will continue to die. A picture of what is happening physically with Adam. God told him that he would go back. He came from dust. He was going to go back to dust. You know, that wasn't God's plan when he created Adam and Eve. He never intended for them to die. It was only because of Adam's disobedience to God that death came into the world. And we live in a world today that suffers from the consequences, from the curse that God placed upon it because of Adam's sin. You see goat heads, you know the curse is still alive and well. But you know what? Man never knew any of these hardships before Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible teaches us that all the misery in the world today is a direct result of Adam's disobedience to God. And as I was studying through this thing, you know, usually there's something sweet that you learn. This is what I learned. This is what I need. In my mind, always, the consequences that God gave to Adam and Eve and to Satan were just like random. But they weren't random. They were like reciprocal justice. Think with me for a minute. Satan's goal and desire was to destroy mankind. God's curse on him, you will be destroyed. We read that the descendant will bruise or crush you on the head. Eve led, some may say manipulated, her husband into sin. She would be mastered by her husband. She would have to be under his authority. Eve was deceived. Eve acted independently of her husband. Not anymore. Now she will be under his authority. Eve will now be ruled by her husband, maybe to help protect her from deception. The curse goes along with what happened. And there's Adam. Adam sinned by eating. From that point on, eating was going to be hard work. He was going to have to suffer in order to eat. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17b through 19a says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. With hard labor you shall eat from it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. You shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Because he ate, God says, "Cursed is the earth, and you will have to sweat and work hard to eat going forward." I think that there was a correlation between what happened to the exact curse that God gave to the serpent, to Eve, and to Adam. Before we move on, I want to talk about a little bit what I think of when I think of sin. Two words: hide, hurl. Whenever sin comes, the first thing that we want to do is we want to hide. That's what Adam and Eve did. And when we're faced with sin, the first thing we do, we want to hurl the blame on somebody else. So when sin comes, we hide and we hurl. When we need to go to God and confess. Before we finish up here this morning, we see in verse 20 here that Adam and Eve are the ancestors of all people. Every human being is a descendant of Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:20, "Now the man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living." Eve, the first woman, became the mother of all humanity. And Adam, the first man, became the father and original ancestor of every human being. Even though people today have different colored skins or different features, we all originally came from the same ancestors, Adam and Eve. In Acts chapter 17, verses 26, there it says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth." You see, when Adam sinned, he was separated from God. Because Adam died to God, His descendants are already born separated from God. We are under the sentence of death. You see, sinful man reproduces sinful man. Kids, I'm telling you, you don't have to teach them to be bad. They're born little sinners. Might be cute, but they're sinners. Sinful man reproduces sinful man. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all man because all sinned." Conclusion. Sin has brought terrible consequences into this world. We live with them every day. If we don't see them, we are actually ignoring them because they're around us everywhere. We die because of sin. If you've heard of a funeral, attended a funeral, it's because of sin that that person died. This is bad news. But God, in His mercy, in His grace, He provides hope. That's who our God is. In the midst of the darkest, dreariest time, there's God giving us hope. Yes, it's God's gracious hope. Right after sin entered the world. We're not talking chapters later. We're not talking, no, right when sin entered the earth, into the world, God promised the deliverer. Right there. And as we continue to go through this story, we're going to learn more and more about God's gracious hope as we continue down the storyline of Christ. Because that's who our God is. Folks, we need Him. We can't do this without Him. It's Him who brought us the gracious gift of a deliverer. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that at the moment that sin entered this world, You provided gracious hope. The hope of a deliverer to come to help a situation that we as mankind can never, ever fix. Lord, we thank You that we can go through this storyline of Christ and learn about who You are, Your graciousness to us, Your love for us, Your mercy for us. It's not because of us, It's because of you. Lord, we thank you for the gracious hope that we have because you provided a way. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing, "There is a Redeemer." Adam and Eve, they had a fix. Their fix was fig leaves. But we'll find out that that was not acceptable to God. And God, next week we'll learn that God had a fix for their problem at the moment. And it wasn't fig leaves. So, have a great week. Be mindful of God. When you look at creation, think of his love for you. When you're going through things, remember that God had provided the deliverer. Enjoy that. Go and have a great week. Look forward to seeing you next week as we continue our storyline of Christ. You're dismissed.